Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vikshyotitam stadutpatam. Ahurloka Bhayankara.
Ahurloka Bhayankara.
Apya Bhadram Manataya.
Apya Bhadram Manataya.
Dasyubhyo Nabhavid Bhuva.
Dasyubhyo Nabhavid Bhuva.
Vikshyotitam stadutpatam. Viksha.
Viksha.
Having seen.
Having seen.
Utitam.
Utitam.
Developed.
Developed.
Tada.
Tada.
Then.
Then.
Utpatan.
Utpatan.
Disturbances.
Disturbances.
Ahu.
Ahu.
They began to say.
They began to say.
Loka.
Loka.
In society.
In society.
Boyamkara.
Boyamkara.
Causing panic.
Causing panic.
Api.
Api.
Weather.
Well,
Abhadram,
Abhadram,
misfortune,
misfortune.
Anataya,
Anataya,
having no ruler,
having no ruler.
Dasyubhya,
Dasyubhya,
from thieves and rogues,
Na,
not,
Bhavet,
may happen,
Bhuva,
of the world,
of the world.
Translation: in those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. Therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves, saying, since the king is dead and there is no protector in the world, misfortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves. Please repeat. In those days, there were various disturbances in the country.
There were various disturbances in the country
that were creating a panic in society.
That were creating a panic in society.
Therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves.
Therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves.
Since the king is dead.
Since the king is dead.
And there is no protector in the world.
And there is no protector in the world.
Misfortune may befall the people.
Misfortune may befall the people.
In general.
In general.
On account of rogues and thieves.
On account of rogues and thieves.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whenever there is a disturbance in the state or a panic situation, the property and lives of the citizens become unsafe. This is caused by the uprising of various thieves and rogues. At such a time, it is to be understood that the ruler or the government is dead. All of these misfortunes happened due to the death of King Vena. Thus, the saintly persons became very anxious for the safety of the people in general. The conclusion is that even though saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon the people in general. Thus, even though they are always aloof from society, out of mercy and compassion, they consider how the citizens can peacefully execute their rituals and follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. That was the concern of the sages. In this age of Kali, everything is disturbed. Therefore, saintly persons should take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantras recommended in the Shastras. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasti, Vanasti, Vanasti, Vadakti, Vata. Both for spiritual and material prosperity, everyone should devotedly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Om Gyan, Vandasya, Gyanam, Janashalakaya, Chakshuru, Vandana, Tasma, Shri Guru, Vema. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhupada, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vajshari Gaura, Vata Vrinda, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. There was a king I'm just looking for his name, Angira, whose son was this Vena. He had no issue, he was a good king, but due to some mishap, which really means his bad karma, his son became a demon. And he was very cruel, but he was better a cruel ruler than no ruler, because at least there's some kind of order, albeit it may not be a fair order. At least that is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. This king, his name became Vena, and he was very, very cruel, but he was cruel also to upstarts and so on, so they were very afraid, they just hid. So in that sense, there was a sense of order, something sort of similar to what happens in countries nowadays, Middle East countries, where you have these despots who are torturing people, and the West comes in to save the day, but it creates more chaos. Democracy is not for everyone. In fact, it's questionable whether it's for anyone at all. maybe for highly elevated Brahmins who know how to vote on who should be their leader. But for people who don't know their toes from their thumbs, and we don't really know what the purpose of life is, democracy is a meaningless, voting is a meaningless exercise. But this king, he became, well, he crossed the line. He stopped sacrifices, he began to persecute the Brahmins. He wanted everyone, rather than to offer worship to the Supreme in some form or another, to worship him. And while the king is worshipable in a sense of being a representative of God, especially when he is the representative of God, but not as God. Just like we're singing in the morning, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. So, Yasya Prasada, Shakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastriya. And spiritual master, Vaishnavas, they're as good as Krishna, but not Krishna. They're qualitatively, maybe said to be as good, but also there's a real difference. So at that point, the Brahmins became, they thought, this king is too much, and he's causing too much of a disturbance. So they killed him, just cursed him to die, and he died. Not so clear, it's called the thunderbolt curse, whether the curse was like a thunderbolt, or the curse actually invoked a thunderbolt, and that struck him. But anyway, the king died. So, blind uncle is better than no uncle, but then there's no uncle. And when there was no uncle, then there was no order, because although the Brahmins, they may be qualified to put the king in line, but they're not going to rule. So there was no ruler. Here, this verse describes what happens when there's no ruler. There's no political order, social order, structural order. Then immediately a certain class of people begins to exploit everybody else. Of course, in Kali Yuga, it's the leaders who are doing this. They're the ones who blatantly steal fortunes, overtax everyone. Taxation is all right, but taxation should be minimal. Generally, it's understood to be 10%. And it's meant to benefit people. and to benefit the kingdom, the country, whatever the state is. And but now we see it's just the opposite. And so Srimad Bhagavatam describes this dasya rajasu, that the rajas, the kings, they become like dasu, they're like thieves. And so ultimately people, we haven't seen that so much, well, to a certain extent, I'll just mention, they head off into the forest, they can't stay at home anymore. For instance, in the recession in America, we saw how people were unable to make the payments on their homes. It became unviable to pay. There was no point in paying. They were better off losing their homes than making the payments. And so people just left their houses to the receivers, and they moved into their cars. And so there were people all around the country living in their cars. It was happening here also in the UK. And in Hungary, for instance, we have a food for life all the time, but Budapest, where we feed about 2,500 people every day. There are people living. Budapest is like it was a river Danube, and on one side it's flat, and the other side it's hilly. And in the hilly part is sort of foresty. And there are people living up there in shacks. They can't afford to pay the taxes. They came upon some hard times. Their business went bankrupt, the government is taxing them so much. So they are, in this weather, they're living outside. And, you know, there's also caves up there. So they live in those caves, they live in some kind of makeshift shelters. And that becomes, it's happening, and it will continue to happen. It becomes impossible to live under these conditions. So what to do? The Brahmins didn't take over government, but they created a good atmosphere, and of course they did this thing which actually happens twice in Bhagavatam, the churning the thighs of Maharaj Vena. Thank you. And and from that was born Prithu Maharaj, who's an incarnation, empowered incarnation of Krishna. He's a ruler, empowered incarnation of good kingship. And he went to the extent of the world, it seems at that time, had become excessively overgrown with trees, so he cleared the trees, and he also flattened mountains. It was too hilly. It seems like the world was too hilly at that time, so you know you can't have proper agriculture on mountains. So he flattened mountains to make fields, agricultural fields. And if you go to Mayapur, and one of the places just before you come to the yoga pit is called Prithu Kund, which was a large kund that Prithu Maharaj excavated when he was doing this. And he came to Sridhar Mayapur, and there he excavated this huge, huge lake, big lake. Now it's just used as an agricultural field. So, but the Brahmins do have a responsibility, and at least the responsibility is to make the right atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada also expected that his Krishna consciousness movement would create a Brahminical class. I've yet to see many Brahmins in the Krishna consciousness movement. Brahminical initiation and being Brahmin are two different things. Everyone gets second initiation. at least those who are from the higher caste, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Shudras, they all get second initiation. But someone who's somewhat mustapa socham shantirajam vivachat jnana vijnanam ashtikam brahma karma svabhavajam. That's very rare. And then Kshatriyas are rare. They may even be rare. In one sense, they're not more valuable because both are needed. But real leaders, not just like here, democracy means that actually anyone in this country can be prime minister. In America, anyone can be the president. Now that sounds very good, but it's horrible. Because that's what you got now, is that anyone can end up being the president. So somehow or other you get votes. It's not the position of low-class people to be in a position of leadership just because they're voted in as leaders. You have the qualities of being a leader. Heroic, magnanimous, very inspirational. Bhagavatam also describes that always very jolly. Maybe in that sense, the Rakhanath fits the bill. Maybe only in that sense. Nothing's not here. Yeah, interesting. Always jolly. Because you have to be, for leader, you always have to be very, very positive. You always have to be very optimistic. And to lead people, you said, yes. Go forward into battle. Even if you die, it doesn't matter. You'll attain the sun. Or some other auspicious planet. So you have to be quality, and that becomes the principle of society. Yatraya lakshanam puktam punksha varna vidanchakam. People perform activities guna karma vibhagasha according to their nature. And how do you know what someone's nature is? Because they exhibit the qualities. How do you know what a dog is? Because he exhibits the qualities of a dog. He wags his tail, he barks, he's got four legs, and so on. Chases balls. So that's a dog. Similarly, how do you know what a Brahmin is, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Shudra? How do you know what a Vaishnava is? By their qualities, not by dress. And that's what 11th canto that is all about, in describing the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that for instance Brahmins are now, I forget the verse, that Brahmins are simply named as such because they wear a Brahmin thread. Who cares if you wear a Brahmin thread? Brahmin thread is nothing. Got a little string. Anyone can put a string across their chest. But does one have the qualities? And in Kali Yuga, people are actually devoid of good qualities. So it's an ocean of bad qualities. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada's idea of establishing Brahminical culture, he wanted, again, an institution, a society that develops good qualities in people. So first of all, the qualities of human beings, because Kali Yuga means the qualities of human beings are destroyed. So human being means coming up to the mode of goodness, knowing the qualities of goodness, simplicity, austerity, self-control. This is what education is primarily about. Education is about being someone, not being something. So now education is about being something, usually something to do with computers. So someone is an engineer, a computer technician, a this, a that, so many other things. That's not important. First, you be a human being. And you learn what the qualities of human beings are. So Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasatan for Guru Vitan. Therefore, education was not based on, and when it's described, it doesn't describe primarily the topic It's not the subject that someone is learning, but who they end up being, that they actually have these suitable qualities and characteristics. And then what type of human being. So then you can see what other type of human being that is. How is that achieved? Lifestyle is important. We were talking a little about lifestyle yesterday. But here, Harinam, 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 you keep along. But chanting Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada says, devotedly chanting Hare Krishna. So when you don't devotedly chant Hare Krishna, then those qualities don't necessarily come. So then someone doesn't necessarily become peaceful and clean and austere and learned and self-controlled, sense-controlled, mind-controlled. Then these things take lifetimes to come. So here the key, and it's not just here, of course here he says devotedly, otherwise places Prabhupada says without offense. So it's a quality of chanting, not any old chanting. This becomes a quality of chanting, and then there becomes a change. We see that there's a change happens anyway. But to actually really have that type of real dramatic change, then you have to really concentrate on a dramatic quality of chanting Hare Krishna. Devotedly chanting. And for that, of course, then there are the 10 offenses, you can say 11 offenses, in Krishna consciousness. It's not just related to the times when you chant Hare Krishna, it's also, again, life. These are the qualities, the consciousness that people have in their life. Sadhu Linda Nama Paramaparada Mitanuti. And so all of these things. Avoid these 11 offenses, being very attentive in all of one's devotional activities, especially when chanting Hare Krishna. And then Chaitodarpana Marjanam. As the heart becomes cleansed, then naturally the good qualities, Yatraya Lakshanam Puktam, those good qualities become manifest. Sarvaganastatra Harasate Shura. So immediately those good qualities start to become manifest. And of course, one should just wait for them to become manifest, but they need to also be cultivated. What does it mean to be a gentleman? What does it mean to be a gentlewoman? What does it mean to actually be brahminical and to act and live in that type of brahminical way? So both by practice and by chanting, these things naturally come. And then when they come, then they're able to bring about a type of revolution. This modern society is, as Prabhupada used the word, soul-killing society, literally destroying people's souls. So it is geared upon making you bad, more than bad, and even worse still. So there's no emphasis on who you are, how you behave, how you look. There are so-called laws, but as you notice, the parameters of what laws allow keeps increasing day to day to day. There was a time 5,000 years ago when Pariksit Maharaj was willing to kill somebody just for even beating a cow. That was the law. So obviously there's no such law nowadays. Killing, slaughtering, and so many other things are going on, and even in your lifetime, you're seeing all kinds of far-out things taking place. The society has completely lost it. And so somehow or another, to bring about some type of reverse in that. How successful Krishna consciousness movement is, that we have to be seeing. But one thing is that, you know, there's this concept of actually being assimilated into society. It's a phenomenon that that happens when minorities, either by religion, ethnicity, or something, when they actually assimilate. In other words, they take on the characteristics of the whole society that they're in. That doesn't mean following the laws of the land. It means you start to be like them, you start to live like them, you take on their values or lack of values. That's not what should happen with the Krishna consciousness movement. Because when we assimilate, when we want to become just like everybody else, we don't want to become like everybody else, because everybody else is going to hell. But rather we want to change everybody else. And even if we can't change the world, at least we should change select people. And of course the first people is ourselves. Start with changing ourselves. You can't change yourself, you can't change anybody. And the Adhirajati Shristas, and when you change, then that will have a profound effect on people that have known you, what happened. And I know even for all the say almost 50 years that I was involved in Krishna consciousness, and my parents were against it, especially my mother, always wishing to the last moment that she died that I do leave Krishna consciousness and do something more constructive with my life. But she would always agree that she couldn't criticize or fault lifestyle. She couldn't fault personal qualities or so on, that in one sense they also try to imbibe, and how different our lifestyle is than the world that we live in. But it starts with changing ourselves, and that means devotedly chanting Hare Krishna and making a real concerted effort. Because if we can't change ourselves, then the talking is a waste, then the preaching is not preaching, it's just blathering. So any parrot, and Prabhupada said, any parrot can repeat things, but parrots don't live according to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you don't become Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, our business is to actually embody the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, to be living examples of that. Because I was saying yesterday, oh, we've got a great building, but there's so many phimorphotides, you're never going to match anything that's either in the blocks around here, or to speak of in the rest of Cardiff, or the UK and the world. We're not going to compete. The building is not going to convince anybody of Krishna. But what is going to convince people is the people inside the building. If they actually really reflect and are the embodiment of the values of Krishna consciousness, the values that these Brahmins represented, and not the values that Vena, and obviously he must have had followers as well, that also represent. So the key is with the chanting, it's with the lifestyle, and yatraya lakshanam proktam, this lakshana. You judge a thing by the result, you should be able to see the result. Others should be able to see the result. Result isn't there, something's wrong. And of course, it doesn't. You don't have to be a mystic or anything. You just look in your heart. What's happened over 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? If it's not happening, or if it's not happening at the pace that it should, then something's wrong. There's nothing wrong with the process. There's nothing wrong with chanting Hare Krishna. But according to how you chant Hare Krishna, the results vary, and especially the timing. The Krishna consciousness is a very wonderful thing, very powerful thing, and the only thing that could possibly get in its way was us. No one else can stop Krishna consciousness except for the devotees. And sometimes they do a great job of
making Krishna consciousness what it should be, because external influences can't stop it. But it requires, it's like if you have a well trained army, then who can stop them? When Alexander the Great came to India, he had he had a bigger army, but more or less his front line was about 20,000 soldiers. There were millions of soldiers in India. Unfortunately, they couldn't cooperate together, which is still a phenomenon that goes on in India. They couldn't cooperate together, and they weren't organized. And so more or less, he conquered a good part of India just with that 25,000 troops, because they were very organized. So nothing can really cause any harm. But when after his death, when his generals started to fight, then immediately, very quickly, everything just crumbled. So his last days, Prabhupada said, "Don't make me an Alexander. I've conquered, gone everywhere, and established Krishna consciousness. Now, don't you mean what I've said? At least maintain. What I've given." So it's actually up to us. And when devotees become very devoted, meaning they become very dedicated and very determined and they're willing to sacrifice. That's why when Prabhupada would say that you need to have somewhat of a kshatriya spirit to be a preacher. What's a kshatriya? Kshatriya means whether I live or die, it doesn't matter. Because everyone can't go into a battle thinking we're all coming out of this alive. There's someone staying on the battlefield at the end. And often it may be a lot of people. So, similarly in Krishna consciousness, the people are willing to sacrifice. Soldiers just don't go in and just sort of push around, and you can't fight like that. You can't do your job. You have to be willing to sacrifice. All right, whatever happens, let it happen. So similarly, Krishna consciousness means being willing to sacrifice. Of course, the best thing is prana artha diyavacha, you sacrifice your life. I think it's Prabhupada said, did this one life for spreading Krishna consciousness. You sacrifice your life. And then you can really fight, just like a warrior. When he's not concerned about, am I going to live or die? Obviously, he can't be foolhardy. But if he's not in the battle just to protect himself, but he's in the battle to fight others, then things will happen. But otherwise, when that happens, then you become very potent. So similarly, when you give yourself to the battle, when you give yourself to both being Krishna conscious and also to the mission of Krishna consciousness movement, then in the way that the Brahmins actually were able to change the ruling order, they were able to invoke Prithu Maharaj, then some real order and value will eventually come in society. They chanted mantras and did some things. We just chant Hare Krishna mantra. But by chanting Hare Krishna, then order will come about. How? That's up to Krishna. If Krishna came, or at least Krishna empowered Prithu Maharaj. So, but it'll come. But it requires the qualified people to actually invoke it. So it's yagyai sankirtanakaya. It's a sacrifice. When you do the sacrifice and you chant the mantra properly and you perform the sacrifice properly, then the result of the sacrifice and the Yajna Purush, personification of that sacrifice will manifest. So Yajna Purush is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the personification of this sacrifice. And by being devoted, by devotedly, doing things devotedly, with intelligence, because Krishna begins the Gita by explaining buddhi yoga jahati, huh? The devotion means intelligence. Then there can actually be a world order. How it happens, don't know, it's baffling to me, but that it can happen and it will happen because of the unlimited power and potency of Krishna and His holy name. Hare Krishna. Anyone have any questions or comments, then we'll... I was going to stay a little longer, but now, you know, my godbrother, Bhattrahari, he had a heart attack a few days back, and he's in a coma, and he may pass away, so we're trying to get to London to see him in hospital. Anyone? Anything?
You spoke about like order. So when you chant, everything becomes ordered. So is there any room for chaos in the absolute?
No, there's no chaos. Why do you want to bring about chaos? There's no chaos, there's no anarchy. Everything's unbelievably structured. If you study physics or chemistry, you see how structured the material world is. That's how orderly everything is. Krishna has an orderly mind. He doesn't like disorder. Disorder means a mode of ignorance. Even a mode of passion, disorder. So there's no room for disorder and transcendence or even in goodness.
Physics works with laws and things being predictable, but there are things that are not predictable, like free will or love, for example. So how do these things fit in this perfect order?
Well, what has the two got to do with each other?
If chaos doesn't exist in the absolute...
Just because something's not predictable doesn't mean it's chaotic. Free will isn't chaotic, it doesn't mean it's anything. Free will is determined by very defined laws. You have your free will, but it isn't chaos as to what the consequence is. It's very clearly defined what's going to be the result of that. And your free will, if you have any free will, is also a result of your past activities, which are also by very defined laws. Love is a science. The whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is all about the science of love. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by chaos. Otherwise, we'd all be very exalted devotees by now. It doesn't happen by chaos. It happens by a very clearly defined system. How love is awoken within the heart. And it just is the Krishna praying, so it doesn't come about by mistake. So a very systematic procedure leads to that. So everything is orderly, everything is, in fact, Indologists and religionists really have a problem with how systematic, for instance, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is. Call it pedantic, that it's just like too structured. But that's reality. Someone else?
What does it take for us to get out of the way when we chant and when we distribute Lord Chaitanya's mercy?
Well, to be attentive. When you're attentive to what you're doing, and that inattention is there, when you're attentive to whatever it is doing, whether you're chanting or whether you're serving or you're washing pots, that you're attentive to the service. You're meditating on what you're doing rather than getting carried away with your mind. And that's yoga, and that's meditation. Meditation, samadhi means when someone's always absorbed in what they're doing, and of course if what they're doing is serving Krishna, then they're in samadhi. doing something and thinking something else, talking something else. Anything else? You having prasadam here or over there? Or go back. Starts Sankirtan. Starting Sankirtan today, or is it rest
today
day?
The boys rest and tomorrow.
Oh, good. Anyway, everyone did really well. Congratulations, it was a great marathon. And I guess we'll see you in on Saturday. Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, I'll just be there for part of it because I have to go to the doctors. I have to go there for part of that. Yeah, everyone did wonderfully. Somehow or another, we distribute these books. It was, it's so many, I guess you must have lots of good stories. I had so many great Sankirtan stories, and this was, I just got this message yesterday. This was, I'm just trying to say, this is just some, this is from Mohan, he's very good. He's been doing Sankirtan for Kathmandu. Oh yeah, 14, 15 years. And he really cultivates people well. He's really exceptional. All Sankirtan devotees do that. You know. He cultivates people. Everyone in the city knows him. They all know him. He knows everybody from politicians to all kinds of people. But he wrote me this. I got this message from one of my contacts who I'm preaching to for the last 10 years, and then I'll translate. This is the message. This was contact 10 years. We've been working 10 years to God book. It says, I'm reading Science of Self-Realization. It's the best book that I got from you. Finally, I'm trying to understand what Krishna consciousness is, and I'm getting faith in it. Thank you very much. I'd really like to come to the temple for some chanting. Can you help me? When is this taking place? How can someone show us what to do? Happy New Year. New Year to you, says the whole family. Parents and two children started to chant during the holidays just because of the book. Now they're chanting. She's a doctor and he's an engineer or something like that. Takes time. It just takes time for the seeds to sprout. But sooner or later they sprout. Wow.
So, honorary guest, this is Buddhist Day today, so we've got a little one of our honorary guests. So all join together and say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you.
Make a wish.
Start the morning. Well, cut a piece for yourself, and then I guess. Or you don't have plates here?
Yeah, there's plates here.
Don't?
Yeah, everyone.
Okay, and then you can do the honors later.
Yeah.
you recognize the tune? You do. You got to be old.
Yeah, it's a certain generation.
Okay. Let's chat a little with Adam, then we're going to talk with Abai, and then, you know, anybody else. But Diablo, you'll see.